This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This is Yasmeen Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio.
Today's topic is something that has to do with the sort of instability of this life. And instability is, in fact, one of the definitions. By definition, this dunya is unstable. And subhanAllah, there are a number of reflections, personal reflections, that I want to share, things that I went through actually just this last week that relate to this topic. And you know, I want to go on and inshallah talk about what do we do and how do we cope with this instability, and what happens after what feels like a high has passed away in a lot of different elements of life or aspects of life. So of course, a lesson for me. I was perfectly well on Wednesday. And subhanAllah, you know, the only thing that I noticed was, you know, I was feeling fine, but I noticed that when I touched the sides of my neck, like where your lymph nodes are, it like hurt when I touched them. And I thought that was strange, that it was, you know, swollen, and even actually there was like a tenderness. It was actually sore when you would touch it. And you know, those of you who have, you know, a background in medicine know that usually, you know, when you go to a doctor and they're checking, you know, to see how, basically a checkup, they tend to feel your neck, right? Your lymph nodes. What that is that when you're sick, part of your immune response is that, you know, that the body lets out these white blood cells which fight the infection, and part of that is that your lymph nodes become inflamed, or they become swollen, and you can feel it. But the weird thing is, I didn't feel sick, and this was Wednesday and even Tuesday, but I did notice that my neck, the lymph nodes in my neck were swollen, and they hurt. So anyway, I guess for future reference, I'll take note of that. But I noticed it, and I just didn't know why. I just thought it was kind of strange, because typically I knew that happens when you're sick, and I didn't feel sick. The strange thing is that the next day, on Thursday, I woke up the middle of the night. It was like 3 a.m. and my throat was just killing me, just suddenly like that. I was fine when I went to sleep, and when I woke up in the middle of the night, it just hurt so bad. And those of you who've had strep throat know that the throat pain that comes with strep throat is unlike any other throat pain. You know, it's very different than just having the flu or having a scratchy throat, but it's extremely, extremely painful, and it hurts so much when you swallow. So I had this very, very intense throat pain, and I was kind of thinking, like, okay, maybe I have, maybe it was just like dryness or something. Anyway, I was able to sort of go back to sleep. And when I woke up in the morning, I was just so much worse. And then pretty soon, like, and it just happened so rapidly. I was hit by a fever. And subhanAllah, I became almost incapacitated within just like hours. And I went from really being totally, completely well to being feverish and incapacitated in bed. It was unbelievable. And I knew, you know, right away that there was, it wasn't just a flu in the sense of a virus, but that I needed medicine. So I, you know, this whole process of trying to, you know, get a hold of the doctor and getting a prescription, you know, in that time, the bacteria is just multiplying, and subhanAllah, it was very, very painful. And it was really hard even to get out of bed, let alone do the things I needed to do. I had about three different, things I had to cancel that day. Actually, probably five. I had two meetings, and then I had actually the radio show, which those of you who tried to listen last Thursday saw that it didn't happen. So I had two meetings, and then I had the radio show, and then I had office hours, and then I had halakha. And that was my Thursday, and it just completely erased my day. I was not able to do any of those things, subhanAllah. But what's even more amazing is, yes, I did put up a status, and alhamdulillah for this amazing network of people and this amazing network of du'a. It's one of the greatest gifts of what I do. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So I asked for your du'as, and alhamdulillah, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heard your du'as. And what was amazing is by Friday, so now we're talking, I was fine on Wednesday. I was completely incapacitated on Thursday, almost completely incapacitated. And then on Friday, I actually had to, Friday morning, so this is all happening Thursday, and, you know, I had to cancel all those things. And then Friday morning, I was actually scheduled to leave in the early morning to go to Chicago for some lectures at Loyola, and then at IIT, Illinois Institute of Technology. And so I was scheduled to have to travel the next day. And subhanAllah, I woke up in the morning on Friday, and I was almost completely well, subhanAllah. You know, the medicine, I had started taking the antibiotic and some medicine from some pretty strong medication for pain. And subhanAllah, I traveled on Friday, and by the time I got to Chicago Friday morning, I was completely fine. And I mean, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what the reflection I really want to share about this experience is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the turner of states. We need to realize that, you know, one of the most common, one of the du'as that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make most often is, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala dinik. O turner of hearts, keep our hearts firm on your deen, on your path, or on your way, or on your religion. This path, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep our hearts firm on it. But what I really want us to note is this word qalb. The word qalb is in Arabic means heart, but literally it means that which turns, because the word qalb shares the same root as the word for turning, as the word for to turn. The heart, by definition, is something that constantly turns. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dua, and this was one of the most oft repeated du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep our hearts firm, and to keep this thing that constantly turns, as by definition, and even the name itself comes from that same root. We ask Allah to keep that thing that turns, which is the heart, firm on his deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the turner of states. A person can be in one state one moment and can be in a completely different state the next moment. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what that really should show us is that we have to be very, very careful not to get too comfortable in any particular state. And know that everything in this life is constantly changing. Everything in this life is constantly turning. Now, what does that have to do with the high and then the lows of life? Well, what it has to do with that is when you are in a low, for example, knowing that this life is about change, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly changes our states, gives you hope. Because you may be low today, you may be at a low today, things are really hard today, but you know what? Tomorrow it'll change. SubhanAllah. The thing about this life is that nothing lasts, that every state is constantly you know, shifting, and then we move to another state. And so if you are low, if you do, you know, you're in a difficult situation, the comforting aspect of this sort of characteristic of life is that it won't last too long, because nothing lasts too long in this life and everything is constantly changing. You know, like they say, this too shall pass. This too shall pass about every difficult state, every low state. But this also applies to our highs. This also applies to those states that we wish would not pass. And those are the spiritual, emotional, and relationship highs that we encounter in life. Now, one really good example of this is what happens when someone enters into Islam, someone converts or reverts back to Islam. When someone takes their shahada, a person who does that really knows what that spiritual high feels like. But this also applies to those people who maybe didn't realize who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was, even if they were born Muslim. A lot of us are born Muslim, and yet we still have to go through a point in our life where we have to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or where we sort of discover Allah in our life. And that point in which we come back to Allah, or that point in which we convert or revert, whether we were born Muslim or we weren't, that point is a high. It is a very, very strong and intense spiritual high. That during that high, it becomes a lot easier to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of a sudden we have this fuel, this almost unending, what feels like an unending source of energy and motivation and inspiration and fuel. We could stay up all night praying. It's easy for us to put on hijab. It's easy for us to pray qiyam. It's easy for us to leave behind all those things that we maybe had been doing in our previous life. It's easy for us to break, to separate ourselves from a haram relationship or from alcohol or drugs or whatever it was. During that high, it becomes easy to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a state on the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah talks about in Madarij al-Salikin, where he talks about the different stations on the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this particular state or station is yaqadha. And, it's a state more so because it's temporary. And that's what we really, really fail to sometimes realize. This state of spiritual high or expansion, and where everything becomes like, it's kind of sometimes referred to as the quote convert zeal. We've all those of us who have come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at that point we've experienced what this feels like. It's a rush and we have all this energy. That is what Ibn al-Qayyim refers to as yaqadha. And yaqadha means awakening. It's that awakening that happens when you've been asleep and all of a sudden something wakes you up. Something, gets you out of that stupor, that state of heedlessness. And now you see a reality that you never knew before. And that is it's like this exhilarating feeling. It's compared to a person who is living their entire life inside of a cave. And they think that cave, with its walls and its narrowness and its darkness, they think that that's the entire world. And then something happens and they discover that there's actually a world outside of the cave. And they step outside and all of a sudden they look around and there's a sky and there's trees and there's birds. And that type of expansion and that exhilaration is kind of how this yaqadha, this awakening is described. It's that coming out of the cave and realizing, oh my God, there is another world out there. It's discovering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the first time. That is a state that is very powerful. But what we have to understand about that state is two things. And if we don't understand these two things, then we end up falling into a very dangerous trap later on. The first aspect of this state that we have to realize is that yaqadha, or awakening, is by definition temporary. I'm going to repeat that because this is what really, really makes people despair later on. This state of high, spiritual high awakening, yakava, is temporary by definition. That means that once, you know, and this actually also applies, you know, I've used it in the spiritual context, but this also applies to, you know, when you first, you first get married or you first fall in love, or you first start a new job that's just like so fulfilling. You just got into college and there's all this, these firsts, right? When something is new and exciting and it just fills you and you feel like this high, you feel this high. So that high, you know, is created in a lot of different situations in life. This state of high, you know, when you have your first child, you know, and like those people, you know, I always look at people. Sometimes I'm sitting at the airport and just observing, you know, because the airport is a place which I spend, you know, quite a bit of time sometimes, and it's also a place where you have a mix, right, of all different people from all different places. They live all over the world, from all over the world, all different walks of life. So it's interesting to observe, and sometimes, you know, I'll observe certain situations, and I'll always be able to pick out those people who are dealing with their first child. You know, someone just has their, you know, that this child is their first child by the way they act. It's just like a person who just fell in love, right? It's just like their entire world is this child, and like, you know, they're taking a zillion pictures, and they're just, you know, very, very overprotective, and you know, there's this whole state that comes with having your first child. These are the highs of life, subhanAllah. And it's in this realization, you know, like this state itself is something that makes you feel as though you wish it would never pass. And yet, that is one of the characteristics of this life that we have to understand in order not to fail or fall later on. And that is that every state, every hal in life is by definition temporary, because this life is by definition temporary. Something can be absolutely breathtaking. I mean, I have seen breathtaking flowers. you know, some of you who may have read some of my posts know that I'm very attached to the beauty of trees. And subhanAllah, you know, especially when during the fall, and just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way He decorates the fall foliage is absolutely breathtaking to me. And you know, for example, for me, I'm living right now in California, in Southern California, so I'm a little bit deprived of the fall foliage because everything is a palm tree. Walillahil hamd, you know, those who haven't seen palm trees, they love the palm trees, and you know, but I really miss that fall foliage in the fall, in the autumn. And so I got, you know, when I got to travel to the East Coast a couple times in the last few months, and it was just breathtaking, right? I got to go in the beginning of October to Connecticut and you know, different parts of Connecticut, and then Toronto, and it was just beautiful, and Ohio as well. And when I went to Ohio, at this point, it was like the end of September, beginning of October. The foliage was amazing, and of course, I was just, you know, taking pictures, and I think I posted one of the pictures of like a heart shaped red tree. It was just amazing. It was red and it was heart shaped. Subhanallah. You could probably find it on my wall somewhere, but it was just amazing. It was so beautiful. And then I went back to California, and I came back to Ohio, the same exact place in Ohio, a month later. And it's completely different now. The trees, I mean, the leaves are dead. I mean, it just looks so different. And subhanAllah, that's the reality of this life, that things can be absolutely breathtaking and things can feel breathtaking, but it is limited. It is temporary by its very nature. And when we can understand that, instead of being devastated and disappointed and then losing hope, when that passes away, we can actually keep going. So it's extremely important to understand the temporary nature of this life in order to not get hopeless and you know, to fall and not be able to get back up once it does pass. And so, you know, the beauty, you know, the beauty in this also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about when He describes the life of this world as being something temporary enjoyment, mataa, that this is a temporary, you know, tool as well. One of the meanings of mataa is a tool, something you use. And it's something, it's a resource. It's also for enjoyment, but it is temporary. And one of the metaphors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses, for example, in Surah Al-Hadid, is like a garden that you know, it makes the farmer really pleased. The farmer's pleased with the garden because it's beautiful, you know, like flowers are beautiful. Roses are I mean, just perfect for about a moment, right? And then what happens over time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes, is that this garden or what's in the garden starts to dry up, and then eventually it crumbles. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it as, you know, turns yellow and it crumbles. That this is, Allah is saying that this is a metaphor for this life. That what happens to a garden, you know, that this is a sign and a metaphor for this entire life. And that is that, you know, subhanAllah, there are moments of absolute beauty. There are moments of highs. And yet those things are just temporary. Now, I ask you to reflect on why. Why would that be the case? Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even give us those things? And then they're temporary and they pass away. Well, you know, like everything else in this life, it is a means. It is a way to bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But someone might ask, well, why? How would that bring me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The fact that I got this amazing glimpse of beauty, or I got this amazing glimpse of exhilaration or this high, and then now it's gone. Well, think about this. If I ask you this, if you are, you know, you go to a department store, and if the department store wants to sell something to you, wants you to buy their perfume, for example, you go to Bath and Body Works, or you go to a high-end department store, and they want to sell this. They want you to go and buy their perfume, which is somewhat expensive. What do they do? What they do is they pass out samples, right? They'll give you a sample of the perfume or the lotion for you to try it, for you to smell it, for you to just to get a glimpse of it. And the idea is that when you get that glimpse and you see how amazing this perfume is, or how amazing, you know, or in the case of food, you get a sample, you taste it, you just taste a little bit of it, that's going to motivate you to want to buy it. That's going to motivate you to want to get the perfume, to want to get that lotion, to want to buy that food. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us glimpses in this life. He gives us samples. Samples of what? Samples of the hereafter. So everything that's beautiful is a sample of Jannah. Everything that makes us happy is a sample of Jannah. Everything that we, you know, those highs, those emotions that we wish wouldn't pass away, those are glimpses of Jannah, and a place where those emotions don't pass away, where that beauty doesn't pass away. The beauty of Jannah doesn't end. The trees in Jannah never crumble. They never turn yellow and then crumble and pass away. This is a sample of what Jannah is like. It's a way to make us want to buy it, right? To want to strive and want to work hard to get the real thing, because it's just a sample. On the other hand, it's also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gives us samples of Jahannam, wa'udhu billah. Because this life isn't all, you know, glimpses of good things, but this life is also mixed in with glimpses of very bad things. We also have to feel pain in this life. We also have to see things pass away in this life. We also experience fire in this life, but it is only a sample. We know from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that the fire of this life is nothing compared to the fire of Jahannam. Wa'udhu billah. So again, it's just a sample. Every time you feel pain in this life, every time you feel, you see fire, or if you get burned, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing us in His signs. These are samples of Jahannam. Wa'udhu billah. What's the point of that? The point of that is so that we will protect ourselves from the real thing. Allah gives us the glimpses or the samples of Jannah so that we'll want to strive for the real thing. And He gives us glimpses and samples of Jahannam, wa'udhu billah, so that we will protect ourselves from the real thing. Inshallah, we will go ahead and take a break now. And when we return, we will go ahead and open up the chat box and take your questions and your reflections, inshallah. غرباء 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 ولغير الله لا نحني الجبال. Assalamu alaikum. This is Yasmeen Mujahid, and you're listening to The Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. We are talking today about what happens when those highs, whether they are in our personal lives, whether they are spiritual highs or emotional highs, what happens when they pass, and then how do we cope? We have spoken earlier about two things to keep in mind about the high. The first one was that it is by definition temporary. When you realize that something is temporary, you don't break and lose hope once it passes, because you know that doesn't mean that all is lost. It just means that this is a fundamental characteristic of this life, and a characteristic of every state, is that no state is ever temporary in this life. We are still moving towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just like the great Sheikh said, what you seek is still beyond. You know, it's not that we ever really get there in this life, because it's a constant path. It's a constant struggle and a constant journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can't get there in this life because we're not at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not there yet. And so we have to remember that it keeps changing and we keep moving, but we just have to keep going. The second aspect of that high, the second characteristic of that high that we have to understand in order not to fall into the trap that may come afterwards or as a result, is that the high itself and the characteristics of the high themselves, of the fuel and the energy and the motivation and the inspiration, is a gift. Those things are gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do I mean by that? I mean that as soon as I now enter into Islam, whether it's coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though I was born Muslim, or being or as a convert, that as soon as I enter into it and I come back, and now I'm in this awakening, I'm in this high, this zeal, that this is not because I am a better person than my neighbor. It isn't because the fact that I'm now able to stay up all night and pray tahajjud, and now I'm able to wear hijab much more easily than my friend, and she's struggling with it, but I'm not struggling with it, or I'm not struggling with growing, one person's not struggling with growing a beard, and this their friend is, and whatever these things, that happen, whatever acts of worship, that I can give money easily, I'm not stingy, whatever it is, whatever acts of worship become easy for you during your high or during your awakening period, that is not because I am fundamentally a better person, but it is just a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to me. It is a gift and a characteristic of the state. And remember that every state is temporary. If during that state, the fact that I am able to do these things more easily makes me arrogant or makes me look down on those who are not able to do it as easily. So now I look at, you know, my friend and I'm like, what's wrong with her? Why is she having so much trouble, you know, breaking off that haram relationship? Or why is that, you know, person having so much trouble waking up and praying qiyam or with their prayers or with their hijab or with their whatever it is, or whatever it is that they're having a lot of trouble with, that I look at that and I look down on that person and I think that, I'm not having trouble with that. It's easy for me. And that if that puts in my heart a sense of arrogance, then I am in for a very rude awakening after this has passed away. What happens to people who do that is that there comes a period in time once the state has passed, once that temporary high has passed, where that person will also end up falling down. And those things that we used to look down on others for doing, we also may end up falling into those same things. Those things that we look down on others for not being able to do, we also will not be able to do those things in the future. That the Prophet ﷺ told us, for example, in a hadith, that no person ridicules another person for something except that they end up falling into that same thing that you're ridiculing another for. So my advice to you and to myself is be very, very careful not to look down on others who don't have that same energy, that same ease in worship, that same zeal, because A, yours is temporary, and B, it is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. It isn't because you're a better person than your friend or than your brother or than your sister. It is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted you. And you have to be very grateful for these gifts, because those gifts that we think come from ourselves, those gifts which we are not grateful for, are taken away from us. And that's the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that when you're not grateful, things are taken from you. And when you are grateful, وَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, and when you are grateful, Allah increases you. So it's so, so important to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fact that you are able to stand up and pray at night, that you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fact that it's easy for you to put on the hijab, that it's easy for you to leave your haram relationship, that it's easy for you to break off from poisonous company. The fact that Allah has enabled you to do those things is a gift from Him to you, not a gift from you to Him. That's so important to understand. Our good deeds and acts of worship are not gifts from us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. So we have to be grateful for them and never ever be arrogant or self-righteous at the fact that you are able to do these things and others are not. When you have those two things in mind, the fact that these states are temporary and the fact that these are gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what that helps you do is not become hopeless and devastated and disappointed once it does pass. What I've seen is that a person who, whatever the high may be, if the high is from being in love, then as soon as that feeling of you know, that comes with being in love has passed away, you think, you know, there must be something wrong. I don't love the person anymore. You know, the relationship is over. And that's as a result of not understanding the nature of these highs and the nature of these temporary states. They are by definition temporary. However, when you get, and this is the awesome thing about the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, the states are temporary, and yes, we you know, they change, but we're always going to another state. We're always moving, yes, you may not be in that same, that same exact state, but inshallah, you'll enter another one and a different form. And I think those people who have been married for a long period of time can really, relate to this point, that yes, maybe that butterflies in the stomach, you know, state, yes, that passes away after a certain point, but then it develops into something else. And, you know, a lot of people argue that it then develops into something deeper and something more stable. So it isn't just, you know, that we're just sad that the state has passed, but we always enter into a new state, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to constantly be taking us through these states on the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it works the same thing with the stations on the path to Allah. You know, you have that awakening at the beginning, and then it's followed by a dip. It's followed by the sort of the fall from the high. That dip or that low. So we're saying that there's highs and there's lows. That low, we have to realize, is a normal part of the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you reach that point, do not give up, because this is where shaitan will try to get you. Now you're not really, it's a lot harder to get up for qiyam. It's a lot harder to pray. Now all of a sudden it's a lot harder to wear hijab. It's a lot harder to not, to stay away from the haram and certain relationships or whatever it is. And now it becomes more of a struggle and you wonder, like, what's wrong with me, right? Like, I must have just lost everything. And this is where many people lose hope. This is where many people fall and keep falling because they lose hope. Instead of it being just a little low or a little dip in the path, it becomes an abyss. And the reason that happens is we give up. We feel like, oh man, I committed this sin. Now I made I slipped. Whereas before you held yourself to this really, really high standard and you're like, I'm never allowed to slip and I'm never allowed to make a mistake. And something else to note is when we treat other people this way, subhanAllah, you'll find this to be the case. Those people who hold others to this standard, like no one is ever allowed to be anything less than perfect. No one is ever allowed to slip. That also then applies to yourself. And that's very, very dangerous, because what it means is you're not allowing anyone to be imperfect, including yourself. And the reality is no one is perfect. So when you make a mistake, which inevitably you will, because you're not an angel, you're a human being. When you do slip, you are absolutely unforgiving of yourself and you don't accept it from yourself. And it actually ends up harming you, because what you do is you look at yourself and you say, wait, but I wasn't allowed to be imperfect. I wasn't allowed to make any mistakes. And since I did make this mistake, I might as well give up completely. And this is what happens with people like that, who are so rigid and unforgiving of others. And then they become so rigid and unforgiving of them, their own selves. And as a result, ironically, it ends up pushing them to the other extreme. As soon as they make a tiny mistake in their deen, a tiny slip, then they just give up. Oh, I made this mistake, so I might as well just stop praying. Or I made this mistake, you know what? What's the point of wearing hijab anymore? I might as well just take it off because I'm being a hypocrite. And that's the idea. This is how shaitan gets us. He gets us through hopelessness. He gets us through first convincing us that we were ever supposed to be perfect or that we ever could be perfect. And then once we aren't perfect, now we feel completely worthless. And now, well, we might as well just give up completely. And now he's won, because what he's made us do is despair in the hope, in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now we're not even seeking that mercy anymore. Now we've just given up. That is what we have to fight, by realizing that we will slip. And when we do slip, we just have to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't give up hope and understand that these states are temporary. We rise and fall in our iman. And that is an absolute fundamental characteristic of the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is really beautifully summed up in one of the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and another companion had come to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Hanzala is a hypocrite. This was the other companion, radiallahu an, O Messenger of Allah. So they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they were so worried that they had become hypocrites. And the Prophet asked, why is that? And he said to the Prophet, Messenger of Allah, when we are with you, you remind us of the garden and fire as if it was that we could see them with our eyes. And then when we leave your presence, we attend to our wives and or, you know, our spouses, children and estates in a state of great heedlessness. So what is this companion saying, him and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, is that he felt that he was a hypocrite because he could not be in the same state. all the time. He could not be in that same spiritual high. He's saying that when I'm with you, O Rasulullah, we feel as though we see Jannah and Jahannam, as though we see it with our eyes. And then when we go to our families and our spouses, we get involved with that and we become more heedless. Basically, what he's saying is we're not at that same state of iman rush, of that iman high, of that spiritual high all the time. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says something very, very important. He says, by the one in whose hand my soul is, if you were to remain in the same state you are in when you are in my presence and in the dhikr, the angels would shake hands with you on your bed and in the street. But Hanzala, different times are not the same. And he repeats this three times. Here the Prophet ﷺ is saying to him that if you remained in that same spiritual high, in that same exact state all the time, then the angels would shake hands with you in the street. Now, how could angels shake hands with you? Well, you would be an angel. That this is not a part of the human experience of this life, of staying in that same state. And he goes on to say, Sa'atan wa sa'a, that this is, there are times and then there are other times. There are times of high and there are times of low. What we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that at least in our lows, we are still according to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. You know, he tells us that as long as during the low, we are still within the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we'll be okay. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that during those lows, we don't give up the basics. Even though you're not feeling it, even though you're making a mistake, even though you're slipping, do not let go of the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not let go of your salah. Do not let go of your salah on time. Even if you're waking up for qiyam, and you, at this point, you're not there, you're not in it, you know, your state is not the same. Just show up. You know, how in school sometimes you get points just for showing up, right? You get participation points just for showing up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you points, inshallah, at least for showing up. Just keep showing up and then your state will change and inshallah you will go back up. But don't give up. You know, if you're feeling like, man, I don't even know why I'm wearing this hijab. I'm not feeling it. I'm totally empty inside. I feel like a hypocrite. Keep it on. Keep showing up. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change your state. Know that Allah is the changer of states. Allah is the turner of hearts. Just keep seeking Him and keep showing up. Keep doing what you're doing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change your state from low back to high, inshallah ta'ala. And we pray that as we keep going in this path and in this process, every high, you know, today's high will be higher than last week's high, inshallah. Or this month's high will be higher than last month's high. You know, each Ramadan, we get to a high. And then eventually we get back down. But we ask that this Ramadan, we got to a higher high than last Ramadan. And this is the process towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, looking at some of the questions in the chat box, one person says, recently I have been feeling like my schoolwork has been exceedingly hard and I keep trying, but I just keep failing every time. I feel so defeated and I want to know how I can achieve sabr or patience. One of the reasons why I think we keep trying and we fail. Sometimes we are too reliant on our own self. We're too reliant on our own actions, our own means, our own efforts. What we need to do is we need to keep trying. We need to keep working. But be careful that you're expecting the result not from your efforts, but from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because all results come from Him. And I think that this is something I personally have experienced a lot, where you might be trying for something, but you're trying for it through an avenue other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it just doesn't happen. And again, you try, and it just doesn't happen. Again, you try, and it just doesn't happen. And it's not until you seek it through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know who is the source, that it ends up working out. So you have to remember that while you're trying and while you keep going, and you're studying for the exam, you're studying really hard, you know, that that you still realize that it's not your efforts that will make you pass that exam, but it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So seek it from Him. Another listener writes, at the beginning of every month, I almost always feel at a high, alhamdulillah, but towards the end, it gets difficult and shaitan knows to target me at this point. Sister Yasmin, other than just striving, is there any constructive advice that you can give me? My constructive advice to you and to myself and to all of us is first to realize that we all go through these lows. It isn't because there's something wrong with you, but this is part of the path. Not giving up hope. Practical advice that I would give you is solidify those things which are obligatory. Solidify those things which are fara'id. Do not compromise in them, no matter what you're feeling, no matter what mood you're in, no matter how high or how low you are. Those things have to be non-negotiables. You don't negotiate in your salah. You don't negotiate in your fasting in Ramadan. You don't negotiate in your zakah. You don't negotiate in these, you know, staying away from the major sins. These are things that you have to really tell yourself, no matter what I'm feeling, these must be non-negotiables. They have to be in place, and really solidify those things. That's first. And then after that, I would say, institute certain extra things that you do no matter what. And for each person, it might be different. It's a certain wird, it's a certain thing that you do daily, and it just becomes a habit. It becomes something that you must do. You know, for some people, it's reading Surah Al-Mulk before they sleep. For some people, it's reading Surah Yasin every day. For some people, it's certain adhkar that they say in the morning, or certain adhkar they say in the evening, or preferably adhkar in the morning and the evening, the adhkar of the day. That those are things that they do no matter what. Whether I'm having a good day, whether I'm having a bad day, whether I'm tired, whether I'm not tired. That those are things that you do whether or not you're feeling high or low. What that does, and being, what I'm saying is pick something that you can be constant in. Something that, again, just pick something and focus on it. Of course, after solidifying the obligatory actions and solidifying the fara'id, and just be consistent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He loves those actions which are consistent, even if they are small. Allah loves for us to be consistent more than He loves for us to do these big, grand, these bigger deeds, right? These grander type deeds of, you know, you went for i'tikaf, walillahi alhamd, but then you didn't do anything for the rest of the year. That's not going to be effective for your spiritual growth as someone who does something small but does it consistently. And you see this reality in the physical world as well. If you want to get in shape, it isn't going to work to go on a workout marathon for a week and then not work out for 2 months. That's not going to tone your body. That's not going to get you in shape. But those who really know about getting in shape know that it's just about consistency. Even if it's just a half an hour, you know, a day or every other day, as long as it's consistent, that's what works for the body. And it's the same thing for the soul. It's the same thing for the heart. It just needs to be consistent. If I go on a binge and I eat, you know, enough for an army for 3 days straight, and then I don't eat for 2 weeks, that's not going to work. That doesn't work with our body. But we have to be consistent and eat, you know, meals regularly. I can't, you know, say I don't need to eat today because I had a really, really heavy meal last week, right? It doesn't work like that. We have to be consistent in feeding our bodies, taking care of our bodies. In the same way, we have to be consistent in feeding and taking care of our hearts and our souls. So what I say practically, pick something that you can be consistent in, and no matter what the circumstances around you are, that is something you will do no matter what. And alhamdulillah, those who do have something like that really see the benefit. You know that for the last, you know, 20 years, for the last 10 years, I always do XYZ. I always make this particular action every single day. That's how we keep the heart, you know, from dying. We keep the heart from falling into that deep, deep low, and then, you know, losing hope. So that's what I would say to you, sister, is keeping those keeping the faraid solid and then having something of a wird, something of extra deeds that you always do as, you know, and it's uncompromised, that no matter what state you're in, no matter where you are, you know, emotionally or psychologically, that you always stick to that. What this will do is it will protect you from getting too low. It will protect you from shaitan. And inshallah, you'll come back up sooner and quicker. You know, and of course, shaitan, the way he gets us is through hopelessness. So just hold on to those things, hold on to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and remember that this too shall pass. This too shall pass. Everything passes. If you're feeling low, know that it's going to pass. And then inshallah, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get you back up. And then, you know, you may go low again. This is the cycle of this life. But this is, you know, it's okay, because this is the path. And eventually, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدَحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. See, this is the hope for a believer, is Allah is telling us, O mankind. Allah here is addressing all of mankind. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدَحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. Indeed, you are toiling, ever painfully toiling towards your Lord, but you shall meet him. And that really is the comfort for a believer, that yes, this is a toil. Yes, there's a struggle. Yes, there's an up. Yes, there's a down. But eventually we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One listener writes, Sister Yasmin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with Hajj this year, alhamdulillah. The very day I came back from Hajj, I came to know I failed in a test. I was in tears, but those tears were different. I had endurance. This was acid test of my patience. I don't know how to keep that clean slate of my heart from taints. Subhanallah, I know how you feel, sister, about wanting to keep that purity that comes after Hajj. What I say to you, sister, is no state is forever. I don't want you to lose hope once the high and the purity of Hajj has passed away. Realize that yes, everything gets, you know, rusted, as the Prophet ﷺ tells us, everything gets rusted, but for everything there is a polish. And the polish of the heart is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my advice to you of how you keep this is two things. One is that you keep cleaning the heart with tawbah. Realize that everything gets, you know, dusty. Everything gets dirty. It's just a part of this life. There's nothing that's going to stay completely constant. So clean it through tawbah. Keep coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time, you know, we are going to slip, come back to Allah, you know, ask for forgiveness, istighfar. Remember that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he made, you know, he did istighfar at least 70, you know, some narrations say 70 times a day, some say 100 times a day. So constantly be cleaning the heart. This is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Constantly be cleaning the heart. And second is the remembrance of Allah. Fill your life, you know, make sure that the remembrance of Allah is a constant in your life. That's what's going to keep your heart alive. So basically, you know, when we're taking care of the body, there's two things we need to do. We need to feed the body and we need to clean the body, right? We eat regularly and we take baths regularly. What happens if you don't take a bath for a while? You get very dirty, right? And you're gonna end up smelling bad. And what happens if you don't feed your body for a while is you starve. The same thing works for the heart. If you're not feeding it, then your heart also starves. And if you're not cleaning it, then your heart also gets dirty and starts to smell bad. So the food of the heart is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the cleansing of the heart is tawbah and istighfar. So the same way we take care of the body, we need to take care of the heart through cleaning it and feeding it, inshallah ta'ala. Nuran says, I've been through a hardship a few days ago, and it ended up bringing me closer to Allah. How can I keep this spirit? And there were a number of questions about how to keep this spirit. And someone else also wrote that whenever, you know, things are going easy for her, she starts to sort of get distracted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when something becomes difficult, she comes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she's asking this, you know, similar question of how do we keep that spirit of being close to Allah, even, you know, without bad things having to happen. first, is again reminding ourselves we're never going to be in the exact same state eternally in this life. But rather we want to, again, yes, we want to keep that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even when things are easy. How do you do that? Well, a few things. One is through gratitude. Allah, again, you know, like we said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wa in shakartum la azidannakum," that when things are good, when things are easy, be conscious that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this is a gift from Allah, and be grateful, be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's how Allah increases us in His blessings and does not take them away from us. Gratitude. One of the deceptions of ease is that we start to depend on other than Him. We start to see the source of the ease or the source of the happiness or the source of the provision as something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the trap of ease. And so what happens is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may withhold those things, and so we realize who the real source is. We need to always remember, even in ease, that everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is not coming from our boss, the provision. The happiness is not coming from, you know, our friend or our spouse. That these things, these blessings, are only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If people love you, it isn't because of you. If people love you, it's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them love you. It's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put that love in their heart, has commanded their heart to love you, and it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hidden your faults from that person. So realize, even when you have people around you and that love of the people make you happy, realize even that is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that those people love you. It is only because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they're with you and that they're around you. Allah is the one who gives and Allah is the one who takes. Always remember, even in ease, that everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَقُولِ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفَرَ اللَّهِ وَلَكُمْ إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُ بِحَمْدَكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
غرباء 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 غرباء.